Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Hey there. Good afternoon and welcome to Spartanburg, South Carolina. It is One Bills Live from Spartanburg. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. The Bills are here practicing with the Carolina Panthers. Practice number one just ended about 30 minutes ago. We're back here ready to do 3 hours of Buffalo Bills coverage. Good afternoon, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It was warm at practice.
Woo!
It is warm, and it's a little damp, and I'm thinking about taking my third shower of the day. But
I'm up to two. I think I'll make three.
It's good, though. I mean, practice was good. The setup is pretty good for the teams. No real great vantage points up high like on grandstands like there is at St. John Fisher, but still great. A lot of great grass fields. Guys are working on nice, and I think the atmosphere was great. Ton of Bills fans.
It was a Bills practice, really.
Bills,
I mean,
fans.
As far as the fans were concerned, right?
There
were
yeah.
So I'm trying to describe it for you. Two practice fields, two full practice fields, and a third one off to the side they didn't really use. But on the side of the one full practice field was a berm, a hill. And that was kind of full with Carolina Panthers fans, right? And they were kind of spotty. You know, I don't know how many, 400 maybe?
I don't know.
And then in the end zone, where the Bills' offense was working towards the end zone, was all Bills fans.
There was 10 in the fence. They were 5-6 deep.
I'm going to say 1,000 maybe Bills fans.
There was a lot.
And they were loud.
They were across both fields.
They were singing the shout song.
Yeah, the two fields are side by side, you know,
yep.
Not end to end, side by side. And they were standing across the end plus the space between those fields, 6 or 7 deep, all the way across both fields at one end, watching the red zone offense and the red zone defense play against the Panthers. And it was they were boisterous.
They had fun.
Yeah, they did.
I think they were having fun. They spent a lot of time with this guy, Steve Tasker. Now, you signed hundreds of autographs, my man.
I don't know.
I was proud of you.
I signed a couple dozen.
It was more than that.
Yeah, there was nice. People, you know, a couple dozen autographs and a couple dozen selfies and pictures and, you know. Should run for political office. I'm good at that part of it. But,
you know,
yeah, it was good. A lot of fans.
Yeah.
It was great.
So practices at Wofford College. I figured out how to say it. Wofford College. Practices at Wofford College, and that is about, a 9/10 of a mile up the road?
Not even.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
And they've got a practice field there, and they've got Pete Metzler is our guest.
Pete Metzler
just got here. He said, I'm not sitting outside.
He's headed into the bar.
He's heading to the air conditioning. No, but they've got so we're here at the Spartanburg Marriott Hotel, and we'll be here today and tomorrow. It's been a great place. We're outside on the terrace here, a beautiful hotel, just a block or two away from Wofford College. And I think it's good. I think it's a good setup here for the Bills.
Yeah, we're in the nick of time now getting in the shade. The sun, our table was in full sunlight throughout the morning, and we had to actually scoot it up about 2 feet because we weren't going to make airtime in the shade, and that's imperative.
Yeah.
That was actually in my job description.
It's hot and it's sunny. It's 88 degrees. Feels hotter than that when you're standing in the sun. I watched most of the practice that I watched, I managed to find shade, which was good.
Yeah.
And I checked in the shade. It was 82.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about let's tell you about the show today. Captain Munnerlin's going to join us, longtime Carolina Panther, now Buffalo Bills cornerback, just signed to the roster over the weekend, Saturday. Captain Munnerlin scheduled to join us a little bit later on today. Pete Metzler's just walked in. Pete Metzler's going to be with us at 1 o'clock today, longtime Bills tight end, worked for the Carolina Panthers. Did he play down here as well?
Yes.
He played here as well?
He caught, I think, the first touchdown in Carolina Panthers history.
That's right.
From Frank
right.
Reich.
Pete Metzler is going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock. He lives down here now, has made his home down here. Looked like he had his grandson with him,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's got a few of those too. Yeah.
And we got a lot more to come, including we'll hear from Josh Allen and Sean McDermott at practice today. Want to hear from you. So we got a good show coming your way. We should talk a little bit about how we got here. We did our show in Orchard Park last night. Got here right. at 1 in the morning. If we're a little bit slow today. I mean, I'm tired.
1 a.m.? I was 2.
It was 1.
Was it?
Yeah. I think it was 1. Was it?
Yeah.
It was late.
Oh, I had
it. And I'm feeling it today, aren't you?
I did a radio hit last night at 12:45 right after we got here.
Oh.
With CBS Sports Radio overnight.
Feeling it.
Yeah. It was perfect. You know, you just get in so you didn't have to, you know. But, gosh, it was an early morning. We were up at early this morning for a meeting here at the hotel with all the Bills staff. And then we were right over to practice. Really.
This hotel is the Bills headquarters hotel. It's kind of the way they set up for an overnight stay for a game, except more detailed. All the coaches have their own offices on the second floor here in the meeting suites, and they're conducting business, watching video, reviewing today's practice, I'm sure, as we speak.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, what they try to do is replicate what they have at Orchard Park and do it here. The Bills dress here. There is a makeshift locker room in one of the main banquet rooms on the second or first floor.
They have to go upstairs to their rooms to shower.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
Problematic, but they do that. And then, I saw Heath Farlow, the special teams coordinator. I said, how's it going? He said, good. I'll watch the tape and stuff. But he was headed up. They were all headed up to shower, and then they're come down. They'll start their day's work.
Yep. I saw Ed Oliver on his way to the shower. But that's all right. I mean, that's the lone inconvenience. They bus 5 minutes down the road to Wofford, practice in the hot sun, and come back here and go about the rest of their business as if they're in Orchard Park. And they'll do that for 2 days before moving up Thursday morning to Charlotte, about an hour and 15 minutes up the road. A couple of practice observations. I want to get some from you, and just in general. We'll get deeper into it, Steve. It's clear, and I was asking you, we're talking on the way down here, why do you do this? I mean, think of the expense if you're the Buffalo Bills. It's got to be a couple $100,000 at least to move this operation, these 90 players, these 25 coaches, these 30 or 40 staffers, to feed them, house them, transport them. It's got to be a couple $100,000. And why do you do it? And when I watch practice today and watch the tempo of practice today and just the slight uptick in intensity, I thought, that's why you do it. That's what you're
Well, that's
for.
Part of it, too. But they got to come down here anyway to play at the end of the week. So there's that. So that's it, you know. They got to come down here anyway, and to come down early just kind of tacks on some expense and some logistical problems. They packed up a lot of stuff, as you can imagine. They packed up a lot of things down here. They've got a whole raft of, you know, nutritionists. They got food. The food was prepared. Breakfast for everybody, lunch for everybody. They got all the rooms all decked out. The meeting rooms, the coaches' rooms. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So there's no question. They got to think they're getting something pretty tangible out of this. This is not something you just do on the spur of the
moment.
And
I thought I could see that when I watched this morning's practice, right? I could see. I watched Buffalo offense against Carolina defense, most of what I watched, and it's competitive now. And not that it isn't competitive in practice or at training camp, Bills offense versus Bills defense, but it's another level here. Don't you agree?
Yeah. The 11 guys on one side of the ball want to win that play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it's a different, you know, if you've ever seen a training camp practice or if you've been to St. John Fisher or whatever, you know that it's a different 11 guys on offense and defense just about every play. They rotate guys in. But the 11 guys that get in there are, like, trying it together. They're trying to win that play. And so it does take it up a level consciously. And you know, there's no doubt. It looks different than it has looked for the last 3 weeks for these guys and through the OTAs and mini camp. So to get out there and actually mix it up with another team, and I've made this point, I think practices like this, these 2 days that they're here practicing against these guys, I think it's worth way more than one preseason game. I think it's worth way more than one preseason game. And I think if you see, and like this big bugaboo we've been talking about laughingly and, you know, whatever, the 18-game schedule.
Right.
If they go to an 18-game schedule and cut down the preseason to 2 games, you can bet that they're going to have a lot more weeks like this around the National Football League. Teams will go out and have joint practices so that they can get some competitive, competitive evaluation by the coaches for these players. I think that'll be the wave of the future. A lot of coaches would love to have this a lot more often.
Yeah, you can see it. It was different. And we're going to talk a little bit today, and it's our Twitter question today. Not a poll, right? It's a question. It is a poll. I better look it up.
It is a poll.
It's about this week here in Carolina with the Carolina Panthers. Check it out on Twitter at One Bills Live. It's up there now. Our Twitter poll, what's the best thing the Buffalo Bills can get out of this joint practice this week with the Panthers? What's the best thing they can get? Give us a call. We'd love to discuss with you, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Vote in the Twitter poll. We've got 260 votes in already. Or send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. What's the best thing the Bills can get out of these joint practices with the Carolina Panthers? On the Twitter poll, here's what we got. 263 votes in. 48% of you say this will be a good measuring stick for Josh Allen. I'm going to come back to that in a second. 42% of you say you can get a competitive uptick in practice. 8% say it's a good look at it going against a 3-4 defense. They'll face some 3-4s this week. 2% have something else in mind. I think I would vote for number one, competitive uptick in practice. But I did see Josh Allen kind of, he was one of the people I was watching today thinking about, well, he's not playing against his teammates anymore. You can see that. He's playing against somebody else. You can see in the way Josh threw the ball, the way he acted, the way he handled himself, I thought.
I think, generally speaking, from the practices I saw, I was, you know, down at the end of the field, so you're kind of, your view's kind of, it is what it is. It's low and it's on the field. I thought the Bills looked really good today. I thought there were some moments where Josh threaded the needle a number of times. I thought the you heard the Bills fans going crazy after every play. You turn around, there's another guy in the end zone, you know, with the ball. I saw a little bit of a 9-on-7 drill in the run game, and the Bills had some room to run right up in between the tackles. The offensive line was working. You know, Mitch Morse is now in a red practice jersey. He's actually doing some things, some football stuff. And he's always looked, I don't want to make it too much, but he looks with great disdain that he's not practicing, I think. I think he really wants to be out there. I think he's fighting to get out there pretty hard. And, you know, the offensive line looked really good without him. So they continue to tinker with that offensive line. In the 9-on-7 that I watched today, there was some room and they were moving some people around. So it was a really good, productive practice. I think it's pretty exhilarating for most of the guys on this roster.
Let's hear from head coach Sean McDermott. He spoke before the practice today, early this morning. Sean McDermott talked about the purpose of having these joint practices with the Carolina Panthers. Here's what he had to say.
Well, it offers a lot of benefits. You know, number one is going against a good team in the Panthers and an organization and a staff that's been together for a long time. And at this point in camp, you know, guys get a little bit tired of, you know, seeing the same guy across the line of scrimmage. So it offers a change of scenery and for us, really a chance to get in front of a different system and scheme and to develop again as an overall football team.
I know there's only.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point that Sean McDermott makes there, Steve. Get up against a different system. You know, the offense has seen nothing but the Buffalo defense now for the first 2.5 weeks, and vice versa. That's all the Buffalo defense has seen, the Bills offense. It's good to see somebody else, right?
And it forces them to take what they've learned. What, you know, now they're kind of getting some things under their belt that they've repped a couple of times. They've, you know, started to play in different positions with different guys, and now they take it to another level because now they've got two stand-up linebackers on the line of scrimmage, and they've got three down linemen. They got, you know, the four linebackers, and how they designate those guys, it forces the offensive line and the quarterbacks to communicate that much more. And it's good exercise mentally, and of course competitively, it's even better than that. So, yeah, I see what he's saying. Get a look at a 3-4 defense instead of a 4-3, and your offensive line has to think about their drops differently, their run blocking differently, their combination blocks differently, and the quarterback has to set the protection differently. So it's there's a lot going on, and coming in here playing these guys who run that defense and run it pretty well, it's a really good exercise for the Bills.
Panthers coming off a year in which their defense failed them, and that's why they switched to a 3-4 defense, Ron Rivera making that switch, and they're eager to, I'm sure, put that 3-4 defense, that new defense, up against somebody else. That's what they're doing this week against the Buffalo Bills. Steve mentioned it. Mitch Morse said, you know, they don't announce these steps, these progressions in concussion protocol. You are in protocol. They don't talk about you until you're out of concussion protocol. So Mitch Morse is still in concussion protocol. But as Steve said, he was on the field today, red non-contact jersey. He was not taking contact. He was not in on teamwork at all. But he did get in some of the drills for the Bills, some of the offensive line drills, no hitting or anything. Morse, of course, is 2 weeks into his concussion. Here's what Sean McDermott said about Mitch Morse and where he's at today and what the plan was for Mitch Morse starting Bills center today.
Yeah, he'll be out there today in pads, but working, you know, progressing at this point. You know, other than that, really nothing's changed. So
he's still in the protocol?
Yep.
Nothing's changed. He's in concussion protocol, but, you know, amateur observation, he took a step forward, I think, today, Steve.
He had a helmet on. You know, and he was taking takeoffs and he was getting out of his stance and moving side to side, moving and sprinting out and stuff. No contact at all. But he was certainly, in the beginning of this thing, remember, he was, wasn't even on the field at times. They had him doing something else. He was off the field, wasn't even around the offensive lineman. Now, today, he was in every drill watching them and off to the side of their drill, was doing what they were doing without having any, you know, nobody put his hands on, nobody except his, you know, his blow to the head or whatever. So he was worried. It's a step forward, and you know, there's all kinds of speculation floating around about how bad it is, how bad it was, and what the Bills' take on this was. I think, I don't think there's any question. I think the Bills are being ultra, ultra cautious with him, because you can imagine the investment they've got in Mitch Moore. So it, they want to make sure, and I'm sure the medical staff knows that if he comes back and he's not ready and they clear him, that it's on them. So they'll make sure he's 100% before he gets a chance to be cleared to get on the field.
And this is totally unofficial, and this is not nobody's told us this, but I want to project out a little bit. I'm standing there watching practice today thinking this about Mitch Moore. So today's Tuesday. They play Friday. Mitch Moore's non-contact red jersey. He's not likely to play this Friday. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
He's not gonna play this Friday. But the next week, preseason game number 3 at Detroit on Friday night, a week from Friday, right? You can see that, I would think, right? Gets a weekend of practice. Because here's why I was thinking about this, because up front, they had kind of the usual cast of characters lined up in the usual spots. Deion Dawkins at left tackle, Quinton Spain at center.
Left guard.
Left guard. Who do they have at center? Spencer Long?
Spencer Long was
Spencer
center
Long
today.
At center. John Feliciano was at center, too,
was he?
With the ones.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
John Feliciano at center today. They had Cody Ford at right guard and Ty Inseki at tackle. I'm looking at this thinking this could be the line. Dawkins, Spain, Mitch Morse next week and probably into the future, Cody Ford, and then Ty Inseki, right? I can live with that offensive line. And I think we're seeing that's kind of the way it's going to look here. And if they can get Mitch Morse on the field for the Lions game August 24th, I think we'll have a good look at that offensive line.
Yeah, and that's a big game. They're going to play a lot. They're going to play through halftime probably. It'll give them a chance to start to feel what it's like to be in a position like this with the five guys that are going to go forward. And that's kind of, for me, Murph, I think that's kind of the getting towards the back end of training camp where you need to have those guys decided on. I think they'll probably go into that game thinking, okay, whether – and Mitch Morse is the wild card, whoever, you know, if he's not in there. The guy that's going to go, if he is not ready to go opening day, is going to be in there in game 3. This week, I still think it's going to be a little bit like it was last week against the Colts. They'll throw anybody and everybody out there together in different combinations and see if they can sink or swim.
So that's where we're at. And where we're at is Spartanburg, South Carolina, and there were a ton of Bills fans here. Steve, you interacted with some, and I think we have the picture, right? Do we have the picture? You actually ran into the guy who named his son Tasker after you. Tell me that story.
I don't know too much about it. He got, for some reason, I don't know whether it's a girl or a boy, and he got naming rights from his wife to name the baby what he wanted to name him.
How old is this baby?
15 months, I think.
Well, that's a baby.
Or 17 months. And, he's a toddler. He's not even walking around. And the guy named him Tasker. His first name is Tasker. So, obviously, I had to get a picture with the kid.
You ever heard of anybody named Tasker, first name?
One. What do you do? I mean, it's pretty humbling.
So he said, Tasker, what? Meet Mr. Tasker.
Yeah. He said, Tasker, meet Mr. Tasker. And we took a picture, and he wanted nothing to do with me, but he was great. You know, he's dressed, and his dad said he's going sideways now. He's so hot out here, he's ready to get out of here.
They live down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bills fans.
Yeah, they're from I think he said he was from Rochester. I can't remember. But we exchanged information. I said, you got to make sure I get a yearly update at least on how Tasker's doing, right?
Yeah,
so that's a big thing, man. Having a kid named after you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a neighbor who named their dog Murphy.
Oh, there you go. That counts.
Closest that counts.
What kind of dog was it?
I forget. I was not happy with it.
Were you weren't?
Nah.
I get people when I was playing. I got a lot of dogs named after me.
Really?
Right, when I was playing. And invariably, it was a 3-pound dog, fully grown, right?
I mean, a little tiny yip dog?
Yeah, yes, very small, you know, because I was the smallest guy on the team. And everybody would get a small dog with an attitude. and name it Tasker. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Fans are all over.
I like the kid better. That's good.
Sean McDermott noticed the fans before practice. He could even tell there were a lot of Bills fans, and he talked about it. All the Bills fans who were in attendance here at practice in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Here's what the head coach said.
Yeah, it's awesome. We appreciate that. You know, we're worldwide, you know, and it's great to see our fans. The buses were pulling out this morning at the hotel, and I saw a car with some Buffalo bumper stickers on it and home, and it had the state of New York in there and the, you know, those bumper stickers. So that's great to see.
You notice it, right? And there was that mass exodus of Western New Yorkers to this area back in the 80s or so, mid-80s. And here they are, still here, still loyal Bills fans. Every time the Bills play here, they get a huge crowd at Bank of America Stadium. I expect the same thing Friday night. But crowds here at training camp, that was pretty cool. Bills fans at training camp.
Yeah, and they were enthusiastic, and they all had stories that, yeah, I used to live in Orchard Park. I used to live in West Seneca. I used to live in Rochester. I used to blah, blah, and on and on and on. Everybody was from up there.
Yep.
And said, I can't wait. You know, I'm raising my kids right. You know, they're Bills fans. You know, that kind of thing. So a ton of Bills fans.
And you said you were talking to a lot of them, and they all – watch the show.
Hey, listen to the show. Yeah. They invariably, yeah, the show's great with you and Murph. You guys are great. We listen to it all the time. I'm like, what? You know. And Sean McDermott says, hey, we're worldwide.
We're worldwide, not nationwide.
Worldwide. Yes. One Bills Live going worldwide. It's true, though, because of the technology these days, people can listen to it worldwide. But they certainly are scattered about, and there's people listening to this show all over the country, and we hear about it. We hear about it all the time, particularly even, of course, in Buffalo.
Sure.
People listen to it. So it's fun. That's gratifying.
All right, so we're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, a little town, about 37,000 people, about an hour and 15 minutes southwest of Charlotte, North Carolina. We're an hour and a half away from Columbia, the state capital of South Carolina. What else you need to know? I did a little research. Remember I said in the car coming down, maybe somebody can explain to me, maybe I'm just being stupid, but there does not seem to be a whole lot of Civil War history around this part of the South. The other side of South Carolina, obviously, Fort Sumter and everything, but here I don't get that. Spartanburg actually was named after a military unit, the Spartans, who fought in the Revolutionary War. I came across that tidbit. Oh. It was a big milling town, Spartanburg. BMW has an assembly plant here. They make Beamers here. Wofford College. I'm trying to think what else would be of
Wofford College is a nice campus. Beautiful. You can imagine where they got a growing season like they do here, and it's hot and humid. And the trees are phenomenal. The landscaping. It's very, very hilly around campus. It's a beautiful campus, and it's the setup is great. Wofford's awesome, man. Their football stadium's a compact little place with the hills, and come down a little bowl. It's beautiful. Yeah. So, yeah, I encourage anybody to come down and check it out at some point. It's fun.
Come on down. Hey, why don't you give us a call? We can discuss about this week, the Bills and Panthers practices. What's the best thing the Bills can get out of these joint practices with the Carolina Panthers? That's our Twitter poll, and 360 votes in so far. 45% of you say it's a good measuring stick for Josh Allen. 44% say that you get the competitive uptick in practice. 8% say you get a look at a 3-4 defense. 3% have something else in mind. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Lines are open. We have a couple tweets in. Let's take those tweets. Let's go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Corrigan Moving Systems with our tweet sheet today. Can I find the tweet sheet here? Let me get to it. Here we go. From Josh. The best part of the joint practices with the Panthers, Josh says, it'll be a good measuring stick for Allen and the entire team. Gives an opportunity to compete against different talent other than your own with different looks and opens the door for improvement. The whole team should benefit from this, especially Allen. You're right, Josh. I will say this, Steve, and I'm eager to hear if you agree or disagree. I think the Buffalo defense was a stiffer challenge for the Buffalo offense through those first 2 weeks of training camp than what they got today from Carolina's defense.
I thought that the Bills' offense looked really good today.
Me too.
I thought it was a good day for them. And I bet they're thinking right now they're thinking, we can play.
Yeah.
You know, these blocks will work. This scheme will work. Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on. Plus, you see some guys like Isaiah McKenzie. You see guys like Robert Foster doing some of the things we saw them do a year ago. When you're going out there against Tre'Davious White and Kevin Johnson and Levi Wallace and the corners on the Bills, not that, you know, they see them every day, so it's kind of hard to come up with something new to beat them with, you know. So you get a fresh look at some guys, and you're a little bit rejuvenated, and a little adrenaline kicks in, and they kind of bust loose a little bit on the offensive side of the ball.
Best play I saw today was by the Buffalo offense in red zone 7-on-7 work. A nice pass, but a spectacular catch by Cam Phillips down in the red zone. I'm not sure if you saw that one, Steve, but
I did not.
Just an amazing catch by Cam Phillips. At some point, not today, we got to start talking about Cam Phillips and what he has shown so far, what he's done so far, because you know, he played well, I thought, last Thursday night in the preseason game. A guy who might have something to say about the back end of the depth chart when it comes to wide receiver. Something to think about.
Yeah, all those guys are in it. They've got to start – they're going to start thinking about, you know what, some of these catches I'm making are going to be the difference maker. It's getting that deep into camp. You're going to get a chance to go out and play on the field. You're going to get a chance to go play against the Panthers, the Lions, and then the Vikings. Those games carry a lot of weight, and in joint practice it's the same thing. Reps start to get a little bit monotonous as you go through training camp. And when you get into situations that are a little different and you seem to thrive in those, it carries a little more weight, I think. You know, when they change things up on you, when it's something that happens, it's unexpected, as it always does on a football field during the season, when something happens and a guy does something he didn't know about or didn't expect, how you handle it says a lot about the kind of football player you want and the kind of football player they want you to be. And the guys who handle it the best, guys, you know, like the guys at the bottom of the wide, like Isaiah McKenzie, Duke Williams, Nick Easley, Cam Phillips, Ray McLeod, all these guys. They're some of those guys are a couple of weeks away from being on the street as free agents. It's just that simple, and they know it, and they know it.
They know it more than anybody.
Yeah,
they feel it.
Yeah.
All right, we're feeling it. We're a day into our first day here at Bills training camp, which is on the road in Spartanburg, South Carolina, at Wofford College today. They practice with the Carolina Panthers. Coming up on the show in this hour, we hope to get longtime Carolina Panther corner, now with the Buffalo Bills, Captain Munnerlyn, scheduled to join us here at the Spartanburg Marriott Hotel. Give us a call. We're talking about what the Bills get out of this week or any other Bills observations you might have. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're just getting started. Steve Tasker, John Murphy. It's One Bills Live from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live from Spartanburg, South Carolina. The Bills off the field, off the practice field after a workout with the Carolina Panthers. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and our special guest, one of the new Buffalo Bills on the weekend flurry of signings. They signed an 11-year veteran. Cornerback Captain Munnerlyn is with us. Hi, Captain.
Hey, how you
nice
doing?
To meet you. Thanks
yes,
for coming
sir.
By.
Yes,
great
sir.
To see you, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
This has got to be easy for you. You're right back in your basically your neighborhood, right?
Where well,
you
yeah.
went. You went here to camp for what, 7 or 8 years?
7 years. I was here for 7 years, and last year I was here. So I'm back in my backyard that I'm used to. I'm comfortable with it. I was telling the guys in the locker room it's going to be hot, so make sure you hydrate and don't wear long sleeves.
You were in South Carolina in college,
yes,
too. I mean,
yes.
This is really –
The Carolinas have been my home since 2006, since I left high school. You know, I've there been in go. The Carolinas, and, you know, I've always been my home, and I made it my home.
Yeah. Coming back now, what was your first impression when you came in wearing a different color jersey, and what was your impression coming down that hill?
Coming down the hill, it was different. It was different. You know, we took a bus, so coming down the hill, walking down the hill, and, you know, seeing the different color jerseys, and I got a different color jersey on now, and the fans still, like, Captain, with all the Carolina stuff, it's like, oh. I don't even want to sign that no more. You know, I'm with the Buffalo Bills now. So, but it was definitely different. But at the same time, it's exciting, man, to go out there just to be playing football again.
Right.
You've been on the move. Now, you live in Charlotte. The Bills brought you up, what, over the weekend Saturday?
Yes, sir.
And talked to you. They did not practice Saturday, but got a meeting with you. And then on the practice field in Buffalo Sunday.
Yes.
And then flew down here Monday.
Yes. I actually made a joke with Bean and Coach McDermott. I was like, listen, y'all could have just waited till y'all got to Spartanburg. Yeah. I could have got my clothes together, got myself together, right. did what I need to do and got on the practice field. But it was a key for me staying and, you know, get to know my teammates. You know, if you're a new guy, you want to know your teammates. And then if I would have just showed up down here and say if I got in a little scuffle, you know, those guys don't know me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to have that day under my belt.
Might be all by yourself.
Yes. Right? Yes. You know, I'm just being real. And, you know, being that I got a day under my belt, they got to know me for a full day, got to see what type of person I am and things like that. You know, I felt like, you know, if I did got into something, they had my back.
There was no scuffle today. Where did we left?
No.
There was nothing going on.
Cool, right? It was cool, clean football, a lot of trash talking, but at the same time, it was clean. Guys had fun, and we competed.
This is different, though. When you come in and bring two teams from other training camps, you bring them together, there's always that thought about, wow, how is this going to go?
Yes.
You have to manage the tempo and you have to manage the intensity, because if you don't, it'll get out of hand in a hurry. What do you get? What's the best part about this for your team? What's this tell you about your team? What's the benefits?
The benefits for it is it's going against somebody else. You know, on a daily basis, we've been going against each other. You know, being a training camp, you go against each other every single day. You get tired. You know, you get tired of going against the same guys. And it's a good benefit for the coaches to evaluate you with some of your peers in the NFL, you know, some of the guys around the league. So it's definitely a great benefit for us. And I think both teams did a great job today just going out there competing. They kept it between the lines. And I feel like we made plays when it came to us. And I really feel like we won today. Buffalo Bills won today.
You went deep into the summer without a team. Were you always intending on playing?
I never thought about retiring. You know, guys was asking me, man, what are you going to do, Captain? What you going to do? I never thought about retiring because I still love the game. I still feel like I got a lot of football left in me. Like I told y'all guys before we got on air, 31 years old. You know, everybody look at me like, oh, he's so old. I'm only 31 years old. I got a lot of football left in me. I just been around the league a long time. That's all. But got a lot of football left in me, and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, you started young. You came out of South Carolina. You were 20.
Yes, sir.
When you got drafted, came out, played with them for 5 years. And you spent 3 years in Minnesota. Tell us about your experience up in the NFC North.
Oh man, it was a great experience. It was my first time ever actually playing in cold weather. We played outside for the first 2 years. My first 2 years standing up there was outside, and then we went inside. But it was great, man. It was a great experience. I never really seen snow before because I'm from Mobile, Alabama originally.
Oh, yeah.
And to get up there and see all that snow and the practice in the snow and have some of those Coles game was – it really made me tough. You know, it really made me tough. So it definitely was a different experience, but I love that experience in Minnesota. It was a great, great time for me.
Yeah, Minnesota will be much colder than it will be in Buffalo. It might get more snow in Buffalo, but it's colder in Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Than it is in Buffalo.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, I can definitely handle it. Yeah.
You go along with that,
oh,
right?
I agree with that, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because I definitely had a game in the playoffs where it was negative, like 14 degrees in Minnesota. We played Seattle.
You won't get that. You won't get that in Buffalo.
I had to go to the sideline every TV timeout. I was on the sideline like this, then run back on the field. Nickel, nickel, nickel.
I feel you, bro. It's cold. Yeah. Talk a little bit. What's your outlook? I mean, what did they tell you when they signed you? What do they expect you to do? Obviously, it's important to them what they're trying to build here. One of the things we always hear about is DNA.
Yes.
So they knew the kind of guy you were, and that's really important in this locker room.
Yes, it's very important. I actually went to, you know, Coach Mack and Coach Bean, Bean today, and told them, man, y'all really building a great football team around here. You know, the personnel that they got, the people that they have, you know, it's great teammates, man. Just to be around the guys for a couple of days, you know, you can tell, you know, it's a great atmosphere that they got in that building. And what they want out of me, man, is just come in, compete, be a leader that like I am. I don't want to step on nobody's toes, any things like that. But, you know, we got a lot of young guys in the secondary, especially at the cornerback position and at the nickelback position. So they just want me to come in and, you know, bring them under my wings. And if it's, you know, a competition, I told those guys when they first signed me, I talked to the young guys. I said, listen, competition bring out the best of everybody. You know, if I'm playing at a very high level and I raise your game up and you playing at a very high level, it makes everybody better. It makes the team better. So I'm all about going out there competing. And I told those guys, that's what I'm here for, just compete. If you win a job, you win a job. But we definitely going to go out there. We're going to compete. And we're going to see who's going to win a job. The best man win.
With Bills corner, Captain Munnerlyn just signed to the roster over the weekend. It's good competition in that cornerback group, right?
Yes, sir.
Wallace, Tre'Davious White, Kevin Johnson, Taron Johnson.
Yes.
Saran Neal's running nickel a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Where do you fit in? Are you a nickel primarily? Is that?
Oh, yeah. That's basically my position. You know, Coach McDermott, he had me when I was a young pup, and they taught me the nickel position in this defense, and I fell in love with it. I'm definitely a nickel back. I love it. But if it's time for me to play outside, I can do it too. Nickel is definitely my primary role. I love it. I'm a great blitzer. I bring toughness. And you got to be able to fit the run in this defense, especially in nickel. You know, you never know what Coach McDermott is going to put you in the box, and you got to go out there and make tackles.
And one of the things I want to ask you about that you mentioned just a minute ago, that a lot of people outside of football really have a hard time getting their mind around. So you're in this room with 8-10 guys playing corner. You're all playing for the same spot.
Yes.
And you're only going to keep like five of you, six of you maybe, a guy in practice squad. It's hard for people to understand the not just – the mentorship you're offering guys who are competing for the same role as you, but also the friendship you form with these guys.
Yes, sir.
How positive the room is, how guys cheer for each other, hoping for the best for each other, knowing that they're hoping the best for you.
Yeah.
It's a real unique atmosphere for guys who, you know, a handful of which or whatever will be cut because of that competition. But it's true. There is a real positive vibe in the room, I would imagine.
Yes, sir. Right? Very positive. I'm a firm believer in God, man. You put out good energy in this world, you get good energy back. And, you know, guys, we know we're competing. We know we're going at it. And we know we fight for, like you said, five or six roster spots. But at the same time, I always tell you guys, man, if you put great film out there and you're a great teammate and you're making plays, somebody will find you. Mm-hmm. You know, it might not be with this organization. It might not be, you know, with the team that you're hoping for, but at the same time, if you go out there and you ball out and you put great film out there, somebody will find you.
And the coaches on this staff also know people around the league too, so they're going to get asked about you, how you are in the meeting room, how you were with the young guys, how you manage being mentored by an older guy as a young guy. All of that goes into the pod, and that keeps you
with a job.
Gets you an 11-year career.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir. It gets you an 11-year career, gets you with a job. It keeps you with a job because when coaches call around and, you know, you're not the – best teammate or you're not great with this, great with that, then it gets around the league. You know, word travel around the mouth around the league. So you try to go out there, you try to be the best teammate, best competitive, and you go out there and try to compete.
Yeah.
Captain, what do you think of this joint practicing? You've probably done it either in Minnesota or Carolina before. What does the team get out of it going up against somebody else?
It's a fun fact, man. You get to go out there and you get to compete and against different guys. You know, instead of going against your guys every single day in training camp, it's a grind. And, you know, some teams don't do it at all.
Right.
But some teams have they fortunate to go out there and do it. And it's just a grind, man, to go out there against somebody else that don't know you. You know, as the time is go on, you start to know your teammates when you go against them. You know, you start to know their moves. Like a couple guys probably say, oh, yeah, he's aggressive when he do this. But those guys over there, they don't know you.
Right.
You know, they don't know you by – No, in training camp, you know, they probably know you're during the season when they study film and stuff like that. But it's definitely different, but at the same time, it's fun. I love practicing against somebody else because you get tired of going against the same guys every single day, especially in training camp for 21, 22 days that you're there.
Sure.
Yeah, so you're going to be down here all week, and then they roll in, you know, Thursday, Friday, you'll go back to Charlotte, roll into Charlotte, and get ready for that game Thursday night. What are your thoughts about being back in that stadium playing – against that team?
I did it before in my career. When I was in Minnesota, we came in to Charlotte and we played against the Panthers. It was a different feeling. And to come back this early in the preseason, and I just left there, it's going to be different.
Right.
But at the same time, man, like I said, I just love the game of football. I'm just happy I got a job and I get to go out there and I get to compete, you know, and I got the call at the right time, you know, to get myself ready and get myself playing into football shape and be ready to roll.
You'll get up to Charlotte with the rest of the Bills later this week and hopefully get your stuff together. You said
I got to go home. I got to go home and get me some clothes, man.
Yeah.
I told Coach Mac McDermott, I said, Coach Mac, man, come on, man. Can I go home to get me some clothes and then come back? But they weren't going for it. They would not let me go to the airport.
Yeah, nothing but Bills gear to wear now, right? You
got
to keep going through
gear.
The T-shirts.
Yeah, and you got family up in Charlotte then? A couple of boys? And the little girl?
Yeah. I got two boys and one girl. My son, he actually just left practice with his mom, with my wife. And I get to go home and, you know, see them and, you know, love on them before I, you know, leave back out.
How
I just want your sons, I'm looking at your two sons, Captain and Champ.
Yeah.
Great names.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with those?
Who
named you Captain?
My great-grandfather's name was Captain, and my grandmama, she named me. My mama promised my grandmama she could name the last child, and I was the baby boy of the family. So she named me after her dad, and my great-grandfather was named Captain Moore. So I'm Captain Munnelin, and I have a son that I scarred with the name Captain.
Is he a junior?
Yes,
or a
he's
third?
Captain. He's Captain Munnelin Jr.
Excellent. So, yeah. And what about Champ?
Champ, man, this is a crazy story. My wife got pregnant when I was in Minnesota, and I was going around the locker room, and she said if it was a boy, I get to name him. So I was going around the locker room asking the guys. I was like, yo, what can I name my son? And you had guys like Adrian Peterson, Anthony Boyd, Harrison Smith, all those guys are chiming in. Like, you should name him this, you should name him that. And Harrison Smith, actually, him and Sendejo came up with a name. They was like, man, you should name him Champion. I said, Champion? I said, I don't know if I like Champion. And I was like, man, you know what, how about Champ? And everybody was like, that's it, Champ. And they used to call me Tyler up there. They never wanted to call me Captain. I was like, we're not calling you Captain. We're calling you Tyler.
Where'd they get
so
that?
They just gave me that name. Those guys just gave me the name. So
congratulations.
I
we're going to name you something else. Yeah.
So my name was Tyler up there. So my son's name is Champ Tyler Munnerlin.
So here's the thing now. You're going to go at this game. You're going to be playing for the Bills back in Charlotte. All the family going to be there, right?
Yes, sir.
They got their Bills gear instead of the Panther gear? Are they going to change over or what?
They definitely got to change over. I don't want to see no Panther gear anymore. They have to. My son actually showed up at practice today. He didn't have Bill T-shirt on, but he definitely had the color. He's a big Spider-Man fan. So.
Oh, yeah, it fits. All right.
So, yeah, so it fits him. His Air Force Ones he had on was red, white, and blue.
There you go.
He had a Spider-Man hat on. So I was like, he's fitting in. So definitely got to give them some Bills gear because I don't want to see nothing Carolina no
there
more.
You go.
That's great. Captain, and it's great to meet you.
Yes, sir.
For
thanks
by.
For having me.
We appreciate it, man. This is
yes,
awesome.
Sir.
Great
yes,
seeing
sir.
You. Have thanks a great camp.
Yes, Tyler Munnerlin. No, Captain Munnerlin. Captain Munnerlin, Bills yes, new corner joining us. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live from Spartanburg, South Carolina on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. One Bills Live from Spartanburg, South Carolina. The Bills are here for a couple of days today and tomorrow. They got in their practice with the Carolina Panthers today. They'll do it again tomorrow at 9:15 in the morning. Captain Munnerlin, never met him. What a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, it was fun to have him on. He's 11-year vet. He's obviously got some stuff on the ball, you know, and being ready and coming in and showing up in shape over the weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been working hard down here living in Charlotte, which he's made his home. And, it's good to see him. He's a great guy. I mean, it's nice when these guys come in and they echo what we're hoping is true about how – great the vibe is here with the Buffalo Bills and what they're really building. A guy like Munnerlin, who's been on three different teams with Carolina, Minnesota, then back to Carolina 3 years later when it was probably a very different team, to say, hey, this is really cool over here.
Can I say this? I look, collect all the talent you can, right? I get that, and you never know who's going to get hurt, what's going to happen. I just have a hard time seeing – where Captain Munnerlin fits into the cornerback picture, Steve. I mean, obviously they're set with Tre'Davious White. Levi Wallace has had a good, solid camp. Kevin Johnson's been good. Taron Johnson, little health issues early on, but he's okay, getting okay. And Saran Neal has worked at nickel. I don't know where he fits in, Captain Munnerlin. I guess he fits in as a nickel candidate, right? Maybe?
Well, it's like, and I think he's a depth player for sure. A guy that knows the defense and can be plugged in. Who knows if he's going to climb the depth chart and all of a sudden he's going to be starting their nickel or starting their dime package or their big nickel package or whatever you want to call it. He's going to have a role to play on the field on Sundays. It may well be, and I'm sure they know that there are roles that they have in their defense that Captain Munnerlin can fill. The only question they have to answer is if we have somebody better. And they'll find out over the course of the rest of the training camp. And I think also, too, is you get him in here, have him here for two or three weeks, get him acclimated to how they do things. And even if he doesn't make this club and you send him back to Charlotte and say, hey, thanks, 2 weeks into the season or 3 weeks into the season, you may need him.
Yeah.
And now he's been acclimated, and it's just a review session for him. And he's the kind of guy you want. You know he's out there. He knows he likes it there in Buffalo. It's easy to have depth with a guy like Captain Munnerlin, even if he's not on your team, because he's such a veteran player, such a quality guy, that you can plug him in and he'll remember all these guys and they'll take him in and they'll just keep on keeping on.
I really liked him. I really do.
There's a lot to like about him.
Yep. He told me he was a captain, too, both in Carolina and in Minnesota. Captain.
Listen, that's when you talk, when Sean McDermott talks about DNA, those are the guys he's talking about.
Yep. Guys Kurt Coleman. Reminds me of Kurt Coleman, kind of, right?
That's right. You know? It's exactly the same. Guys who other players, their peers, vote to be a leader and vote to represent them. It's big.
Hey, you know what we have not talked about this week, and we are probably remiss in not doing that? The Antonio Brown soap opera. It's crazy. And I guess I avoided it when we only had yesterday was Monday, right?
Yeah.
I recall thinking we should talk about this, and I thought, well, that's crazy. I'm not going to waste any time on that. Nobody would sit out because of a helmet or threaten to sit out. But it's gone so far, and now Antonio Brown has a helmet that he wanted to wear. The helmet was disallowed, but he may get to wear the type of helmet he wanted. The Raiders and Brown's representatives have been in contact. The NFL has approved Brown wearing a helmet model that he wants, a Shoot Air Advantage, if he finds a helmet that fits him and is less than 10 years old. That was a problem. The helmet he liked was older than 10 years, and they couldn't approve it anymore. The helmet he likes, the company stopped making in 2011, and his current helmet is more than 10 years old. They're still trying to find the right helmet that's less than 10 years old.
If they can find one that's new in a box, right, that hasn't been used, it will be good enough to pass the evaluation process. If it's not, if they can't, like, you know, think about it. I mean, they can go to, you know, wherever, like, you know, South Carolina State or East Carolina or Utah State or any college in the country, or the company will have everybody they've sold them to. They'll know who's got them and who's using them, who may have one that hasn't been using that. And like he tried to do with his old helmet, they just paint it from Pittsburgh black to Raider silver.
Yeah.
And that's what he'll do. They'll just grab it and paint it up, and they'll be off and running.
Two things about this. One, the NFL. I read a quote from an NFL official yesterday who said, look, we're not fooling around here. If he can't wear that helmet, and we're not going to approve that helmet for practice or game. So he would have to forfeit that money, right? The Raiders would say, we're not paying you. You can't practice or play in that helmet. And the NFL's not fooling around saying, go ahead and practice with it. That's how seriously they want to take this. Two, Antonio Brown is exactly the type of guy that we thought he was coming out of Pittsburgh, right? To make a big deal, to make a soap opera out of this, and, well, I'm not playing now. And how would he have – we're talking about Captain Munnerlyn and Kurt Coleman. How would Antonio Brown fit at all on the culture of this team if somehow the Bills had gotten him?
You're right.
He would not. He would not fit.
And that is in conjunction, and the same time, the other story about he was injured. He's got frostbitten feet.
Yeah.
For not doing the right thing when he got in a cryo chamber. I mean, good grief. Who does that? You know, you got to do things the right way. There's a reason you do them that way. It's because it works best.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's had a rough week.
Great player.
He's had a oh yeah.
He would not have fit in here. There's nobody remotely like him on this roster. Is there?
No. I don't. Not in that way.
No.
I think. Well, who knows? But he's not here, and I think right now Bills fans are like.
Good riddance.
Yeah, and I think Steeler fans and Steeler teammates are like going,
good riddance.
Yeah, I told you.
Let's take a quick call here. Sean is on the line from Cheektowaga. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing? I'd like to talk about the
– Sean, do we have you?
Hello?
You've given Sean enough time.
There?
Let me just tell you, say this. I had huge question marks about whether we could take a phone call.
What?
From Buffalo down here in Spartan.
Same setup as Rochester's.
I don't know. It didn't go too well in Rochester either, if you'll remember.
Good point.
I don't know if you remember.
Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. All right, we got 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go. We got Pete Metzelaar, one of the all-time greats from the Buffalo Bills. Pete Metzelaar is going to join us when we come back for hour number two. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.